You ask any doctor, if you are wealthy, they can keep you alive for a long, long time. But only Jesus can add life to your years. We don't know how many years you have, but you know what? Are those years meaningful? Are those years exciting? Are those years filled with purpose? Are those years filled with the joy that God intends to give to you? Those are real life. And it has nothing to do with the stuff that you have accumulated all these years. Because those things do not satisfy. At least not for very long. Usually in life, God would ask us to follow Him. And you would notice that He doesn't really give us the details. Even with Paul in this instance, he told Paul that you're going to be saved. You're going to go to Rome and you're going to stand in front of the rulers there and testify for me. But God didn't tell Paul how long he's going to be in the storm. And the storm went on for another 11, 12 days. God didn't tell Paul that he's going to be stuck on a sandbar and that he has got to swim for it. God left out all those details. And that is why our Christian life is so exciting. It's a life of faith. It's a life where God would show you just one step and it's your choice. Would you take that step by faith in Him? You may ask, you know, Pastor John, okay, if this morning I should decide to obey God, what should I expect? You should expect uncertainty. You should expect danger. You should expect to be living on the edge. You should be expecting to have excitement, even though there are many risks that comes with it. Because we saw how even in the life of Jesus Himself, when He obeyed God absolutely, His life, His righteous life, His godly life brought Him into direct collision with Satan and the religious system of that day. Why do you think you should be any different? Secondly, a follower of Christ must take risks. A follower of Christ must take risk. At every point of our lives, there will be uncertainties. There will be risks. But we can know that our God holds the future in His hands. Our God is going before us. And our God is a God who can intervene and He rules and overrules the plans of man. God's plans never fail. His plan will always come true. But for you and I, we are just asked to take the next step by faith. Take a look at the next verse in Acts 27, verse 43. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The centurion ordered them to jump. Imagine if you could just transport yourself back some 2,000 years. Just imagine yourself on this ship. And the centurion is telling you, this ship is breaking apart. You need to jump now. And you say, okay, I can't swim, you know, but I've got to jump. You have a choice. You can stay on board or you can jump. Assuming for a moment you jump And after you jump and you're struggling in the water and you look up at the ship, you know, and there's Paul, there's Luke, there's Aristarchus waiting, and you'll be wondering, Lord, what about them? Do they have to jump or do they have another way to the beach? They don't have to swim. Can they walk on the water or what? You know? No. You and I know that from the Bible here, Paul, Luke, and Aristarchus are no different. They had to jump in like any of us. They had to swim. They had to struggle. And if you are like me, you probably have half the ocean in my stomach by that time. All right? But still, we have to jump and we have to swim. Take a look at the next verse. Verse 44. The rest were to get there on planks or on pieces of the ship. Bible doesn't tell us. But I'm going to suggest to you that Paul jumped. And then he grabbed a plank, the largest piece of plank he could find. And again, I must say that the Bible doesn't tell us here. Paul unknowingly started a very popular sport, what we today call surfing. All right? This is actually a picture, all right? That's Paul, all right? There are some who are not so experienced. They were struggling, okay? And after a while, when the rest saw what Paul was doing, they caught on, all right? Many of them made it. In fact, all of them made it to the shore somehow, all right? So others followed. And you know what? That wasn't the end of the story. They were so excited by what they were able to do with the planks. And they practiced and practiced. A couple of weeks later, they became so good, that CNN, Fox News, and even our channel News Asia went to the island and they did a story of Paul. And this is Paul, right? This was really taken off the TV. Okay? And then not only Paul did well, all right, there was Luke, Aristarchus, and even the centurion was doing well, all right. So, well, you guys know this is not true, right? But anyway, what was true was that they had to swim, surf, or they sink. A decision has to be made. Some of you may have this, may be asking this question. Why didn't God make it easier for them? Why didn't God send the ship straight to the beach? Could he have done that? Yes. But did he? No. Why then didn't God make their life easier? And the answer is this, that God has done his part. Now, you must do your part. It may mean you have to struggle in the water. It may mean that you have to swallow a lot of seawater. But you know what? While they were all struggling in the water, trying to make it to shore, there were some who could swim, many who could not. But I'm sure that while they were all in the water paddling and struggling, they were probably saying to one another, "Hey, come on, don't give up. You can do it. I will be here with you. I'll swim with you." They were encouraging one another. And they all made it safely to shore. And this is to tell us it's so important that you and I get plucked into a small group where there will be people who would walk with you, who would run with you, who would be there to encourage you when you fall. Don't swim alone. Don't swim alone. You don't have to. So often, God shows us step by step, and He expects us to do our part by faith. Yes, swimming, struggling in the water is not fun. But it helps to stretch our faith. When you and I, when we are doing our part, Usually, it is hard work. Usually, it's hard work. Story was told of two frogs that fell into a bucket of milk. And this bucket and the side was steep and smooth. The frogs couldn't get out. And the milk, the cream was deep and cold. The first frog says, "Oh, what's the use? No one is going to help us. Goodbye, my friend. Goodbye, cruel world." And he drowned. The second frog is made of tougher material. He refused to give up. He paddled on and on. He did not give up. He stopped only once in a while to wipe off the cream from his eyes. And he said, "I will swim on for a little while." And that little while became an hour, and that hour became 2 hours. He kicked and he did not even stop to complain. But after an hour, after two, he hopped out of the bucket on top of butter. For those of you who still haven't got your coffee, if milk, you stir it long enough, it becomes butter. Right? We know that God wants to strengthen us. He wants us to do our part. We need, like this, the second frog, while even though in a difficult situation, God wants us to continue to trust in Him and to obey. Obey God now. Verse 44 tells us, chapter 27, "In this way everyone reached land in safety." You see, when you and I obey God, when you and I obey God, good things happen. And we will truly find what life really means. And all will be well because they are all directed by God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us, "And without faith it is impossible to please God." Everything that we are doing, we need to do it by faith. By faith. And if we think for a moment that we could do things on our own, then that will not please God. What does it mean to have faith in God? It means to take God at His word. Whatever He say, believe it. And then you need to step out in obedience. When the 276 people, including Paul, obeyed, they actually had to jump. They actually had to jump. And that was trusting God. Because they do not know what's in the water. Many times we try to do things with our own ability, trusting in our own intelligence and skills and experience that we have. Whenever we can do that, then we don't need God. But over and above all our abilities and skills and experience, we still need to look to God and trust Him. Depend on Him. That will please God. I remember some years ago when I was making a trip to Genting's. And we had an old car. It was an old Korean car. But all my other friends, they had very nice cars, European cars and you know, nice Japanese cars. But we had this old Korean car and I wasn't sure if we were going to make it. And on the way up to Genting's, if you know, in those days, the roads were really bad and winding. And on the way up, we saw many cars stopping by the side of the road with the bonnet up and with, you know, steam coming out. And kind of every time we drive past, I start to shiver, you know, and say, "God, where are you?" But we made the trip, came back, and at the beginning of the trip, I told God I choose to trust Him. Whatever is going to happen, it's going to be good. And we made it. And in the same way, in all our life, many times we are insecure, uncertain, but we do need just to tell God, God, I don't feel good, but I'm going to choose to trust You with it. And that, people, it is faith put in the right person. Because our God is a keeper of His promises 100%. When He said, every one of you will be saved, everyone was saved. And as they made it to shore, as they were sitting on the shore, looking out to this, the waves that's still lashing out, and looking at all those pieces of wood and things that's drifting in, what do you think was going on through their minds? If you were to be there, you just got away with your life, and you're sitting on the shore, exhausted, looking out, what would be going on through your mind? I don't know about you. I would be so thankful, isn't it? I would be so happy that I've made it. I lost my iPad in the water just now. I couldn't grab it, but it sunk so quickly. I couldn't grab my iPad. But hey, I would be so happy. And as I think back, I would remember how I came to be on this shore. And it was because of one man, Paul, and his God, Jehovah. You see, our God is a God who's in control of everything, everything, even when everything is falling apart. And it is true for you too today. As you're sitting here, no matter what you're going through right now, things are just not working out. But you know what? Go back to God. He can fix it. Because He's the creator of the universe. The other question we may want to ask is, how did all these things happen? How did this man who's a prisoner, and you know, he didn't really look like a prisoner, the centurion thought so, right? He looks exceptional. But how did it all happen? It all happened because Paul lived his life to the fullest. He took a risk and he obeyed God. And what an impact he had on the people around him. Today, you and I, we too, can make an impact on the society that we live in, the workplace where God has put us, and the school where we spend so much of our time with our friends. If you are willing to live your life, take a risk, and obey God, take a stand for God, you will be like Paul, making a tremendous impact on the people around you. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the floods came up, and the winds blew against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations. Its foundation was on the rock. Does this describe you? You and I, we have heard the words of God. Each Sunday as we come, daily as you do your own devotional reading, you will be hearing the voice of Jesus. But Jesus is saying hearing is not good enough. It's good, but don't stop there. You need to put them into practice. And when you practice them, when you do them, when you take that step of faith, then you are like that wise man who builds his house on the rock. Verse 26 tells us, but this is a bad but. All right? There's some good buts and some bad buts. This is a bad but. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the floods came up, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. It fell with a great crash. Wow, if that describes my life, what a waste. And I don't want that to be the description of my life. I want to be a wise man, wouldn't you? I'm not going to ask how many of you want to be that wise man. Maybe I should. No, I'm sure it's a no-brainer. You guys know that you don't want to come to the end of your life and you go out with a big crash. Not a big bang, a big crash. All right? And Jesus tells us that obedience is something you practice. It's something you put into action. All right? And it's obedient to the word of God, not just listening. We need to practice it today. Some of us today have been walking with God for many years. God wants to do something special with your life. And there are so many friends that you have today who are unbelievers. And you need to grab them by the hand, grab them by the collar, and drag them into heaven with you. Whatever it takes. Because they are headed for a shipwreck. They are headed for disaster, and nobody can save them except Jesus. And you and I, we have the word of life. And we need to share with them the word of life. So that when they hear the word of life, faith can take root in their hearts. And there will be many opportunities that God has opened to you before. And you have just walked by that open door. You missed it. But the good news is that God is going to open more doors for you. And you and I, we're going to be courageous and be bold and to trust God and to walk through that door and to tell people that God loves them and our God is the only God who has got a hope for them to make it to heaven. He's powerful and He can change lives. He has changed mine, He has changed yours, and He can change your friends too. But you have to believe. You have to take a risk. Risk, it means, what is a risk? Risk simply means that you don't know exactly how things will turn out. You don't know. But God does. And if you obey God, and if that's what God wants you to do, just do it. And trust God. You don't know what's going to be the outcome. But God does. Trust Him. John Piper, a great Bible teacher and a pastor, and he's a well-known leader in the mission movements. John Piper, he has wrote many great books. And this is what he said. He wrote an article in the Reader Digest in February of 1998. And this is what he said. I tell you what a tragedy is. I will show you how to waste your life. Consider this story from the Reader Digest. No, he didn't write this story, but he's just quoting this story from Reader Digest. And this is how the story goes. A couple took early retirement from their jobs in Florida. He was 59 and she was 51. Now they live in Florida and they cruise around on their 30-footer boat, play softball, and collect seashells. Come to the end of your life, John Piper says, your one and only precious God-given life, and let the last great work of your life before you give an account to your Creator be this. Play softball and collect seashells. Picture them before Christ on the great day of judgment. Look, Lord, see my shells. This is a tragedy. This is going to be the story of your life. Play softball. Or play golf. Collect seashells. Paul stuck out his neck and 275 other people were saved. Paul trusted God, took a risk, and told them about this God of the universe, and they were saved. At the end of your life, as you and I, we stand before Jesus, what is it going to be? And usually, I will picture my life as, at the end of our lives, I love to sit somewhere by the beach, watch the setting sun, and when we stand before the man who died for you on the cross, and as you stretch out your hands, and you say, Lord, look at my beautiful seashells. What a tragedy. But you can change all this right now. We still have to work. But work is not all your life. We still have a family that we have commitments to. But that's not all our life. It is committing ourselves to Jesus and following Him 100%, and all other things will then fall into their right places. Otherwise, at the end of our life, we will only be able to stretch out our hands to Jesus and say, Jesus, this is all that I have got to show for the 50 odd years that I've been alive on earth. Seashells. Today, you and I, as followers of Jesus, we know where we are going to end up. Not here. Earth is not our final destination. Heaven is. And the presence of God is. That's our final destination. But here and now, we do have the power of God. We do have the provisions of God. We have the presence of Jesus with us right now to overcome all these storms and crises. If you only draw from it. And you and I, we know that we will be transiting into a better life when heaven comes. Don't waste your life collecting shells, because those will not count for eternity. Some of you sitting here, you're not even sure of your final destination. Will you make it to heaven? If you're not sure, you put your life in the hands of Jesus, because you're a sinner and He died on the cross for you so that you can find forgiveness before God and you will become a child of God. And your name will be written in the book of life, and from today on you will have that same abundant, meaningful, purposeful life that God, Jesus has promised to all of us. Don't let that slip by. Today is the day you can hand your life to Jesus and start a meaningful, purposeful life. It's not about cruising around in a big yacht. Neither is it about playing golf or collecting seashells. But it's about enjoying the life that God has intended for us to do. But that requires trusting. That requires a decision on your part. And as God speaks to you today, and as Ruth comes up to lead us in the closing song, if you need to, you need to speak to God right now. You need to go back to Him and recommit your life to Him 100%, not 99%. God is a great God. He can do wonders with your life to impact your family, your friends, the society that we are living in. Don't waste your life.